Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's a Bud Light Football Friday, live from Blake Street Tavern. Here's Stokely and Zach on Denver's Sports Station, 1043 The Fan.
To think about it, it is right here, it is right now. We are live at Blake Street Tavern, our home base that got taken away from us for a full season, but we are back at the big house on Blake. Brandon Stokely, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back at Blake Street Tavern. Missed this place. We had so many great memories here.
Oh, yeah.
It was taken away from us for a little bit, but we're back. I love it. Can't wait. Football season's here. We're here. Broncos got a game in 2 days. College football. We had a Thursday. I mean, everything's going great, Zach.
Oh, man.
Everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. If you
How about you?
Around Lodo, man, I'm doing great.
Yeah, come stop by.
Yeah, if you're anywhere near Lodo, come say hello to me in Stoke. You want to give us a pound, take a pic. We'll be here until 3 o'clock. And happy to be here. I was struggling. Thought I was going to be late.
I was hoping.
Construction.
You always do that. You do the same stuff. Like, you're like, oh, yeah, I'm coming in. You know, I'm probably going to be late. And, you know, Chad Brown's going to stay and this and that. And then you show up 3 minutes early.
Well, you know what? I legitimately thought I was going to be late. It was one of those where I gave myself enough time. The ETA on the GPS goes from 52 to 53.
Right.
To 54 to 55. And then it gets up to 58. And I'm like, I'm cruising down here. I'm like, what's going on? There's something waiting for me up there. I don't know what it is.
This sounds like the same story 2 weeks ago where you said your GPS told you to turn.
Yes,
you're like,
yes,
nah, I'm not going to turn.
Yes.
I mean, there's a theme here, right?
Right?
There's a theme here. Maybe leave a little bit early.
Well, here's the thing. I leave early enough that when I do get tripped up, I'm still able to overcome it. If I gave myself just enough time to get here, I wouldn't have been able to overcome it. But a failure to prepare is preparing to fail, and there I was on time. And Millennial Ben, I know you hear me back there. I know you hear me. You were rooting against me for the last 25 minutes.
I was rooting against you, too.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, like Jay-Z said, they pray and pray for my downfall, but every time I hit the ground, I bounce up like round ball.
There you go.
I am at the top of the show, baby.
Wow. You get it all.
You get it all here. I'll tell you what. You're talking about getting off to a good start. The NFL season, just in general, is off to as good of a start from storylines, upsets, great games coming down to the wire, and it continued again last night, a game decided with no time left on Thursday Night Football in Washington.
Yeah, a great finish. And, you know, it's really cool because we played the Giants last week. We get to watch them again last night. But ratings are up all across the board in the NFL. And, you know, last week started off with the Cowboys-Bucks, and it was came down to a field goal at the end. This week, Thursday nights have, you know, been bad football games. This wasn't a good quality game, but it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was.
And it came down to a last-second kick, and that's all you can ask for. A division game, these things are close, and it was a close one, and both teams tried to screw it up. And, you know, there it was where the Giants just screwed it up a little bit more because a guy couldn't stay on sides.
Oh, and I'm looking at the Giants fans right now on one of the 69 big-screen TVs here at Blake Street Tavern. The Giants fans that were there in Washington going nuts when the kick was missed with no time left. But there was a defensive offsides. Dexter Lawrence just jumped a little bit. So literally, Washington ran a play with zero time left on the clock. Like, the play begins with zeros, and Saquon Barkley's got his hands over his head, and oh my goodness, and that's the way that Washington wins 30-29. I was going to say as time expired. Time already did expire, so it was one of those rare finishes, but man, high drama. I'll tell you this, and I don't know how much you watched because I know you were golfing and hanging out with the fellas, but I have a greater sense of appreciation for what the Denver Broncos did a week ago to the New York Jets, or the New York Giants, excuse me. Giants, in my opinion, outplayed Washington for four quarters. I thought they were the better team. They just kept on shooting themselves in the foot, and ultimately Washington wins. But that Giants team, they're a pretty good football team. That's what my eyes told me anyway.
Yeah, they're a solid group. I got to watch the fourth quarter there, which was entertaining. I missed some of the early ones. I saw some of the highlights. They had a touchdown call back for a holding.
Yep.
Didn't look like a holding to me first glance.
On the Daniel Jones run. Oh, my gosh.
On the receiver?
Yeah.
Looked like a bad call to me. Is that what you saw also?
Very questionable, especially in real time. Like, when you slow it down and, you know, to the, you know, you look at the millimeters and the frames per second, it's like, okay, maybe by the left. I thought it was a touchdown, and it took away a career highlight from Daniel Jones, because I don't know how long it was, but it felt about 70 yards.
Bad call there. And then you had the guy dropping the touchdown.
Oh, my gosh.
If you catch that, you're up 10
right.
with, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes left. Game's over, and you can't hold on to it. You got to catch the stinking ball.
Yep.
You know, those are layups in the NFL. And, you know, if the ball's a little bit too far, have you ever heard of a thing called diving a little bit? I mean, dive
out,
for the stinking ball. That was bad. Giants just gave it away. Remember my saying? Do you remember my saying?
Remember your saying when it comes to diving for the ball?
No, not when it comes to just my saying overall in general. The one thing that a coach told me that
more games are lost in the NFL than won.
Bravo. Look at you on a Friday. On top of your game. Yes, more games in the NFL are lost than won. Look at last night, right? Giants just lost the stinking.
Yep,
here you go.
Yep.
Here you go. We can't even stay onside.
Yep.
We can't even catch a ball when nobody's around us, right? We can't even do the little things like that. And hence, they just gave the game to Washington. And Washington tried to give them to him. There goes, I don't know, Heineken. Heineken up back there.
Heineken?
Yeah. You know, he's just throwing the ball away. You know, Bradbury interception. And, I mean,
that's
both
my
these
guy,
teams.
Taylor Heineke. That's my guy.
Heineke, yeah, that guy. That's your guy.
That's my
you're
guy.
Claiming him.
I called one of his games at Old Dominion back in 2013 in front of 20,000 people.
I like
here
it.
Here it is in the NFL.
Yeah. He thinks he should be the starter the rest of the year, he said. We'll see. But that was, you know, he just gave it back to the Giants.
Yeah.
Giants didn't want it. They just give it back. But that's just two bad football teams.
Yep.
That's what it is. Just two bad football teams. But you know what? In the NFL, man, you just try to get wins. Sometimes it's ugly. Sometimes it's not. It's never going to be perfect. You just try to get wins and then move on to the next week, and Washington was able to do that.
Yeah, and the difference between being 1-1 going into week 3,
ooh,
between 0-2, I mean, it really feels like your season is on the line when you're going into week 3 at 0-2. And that's why the Broncos beating the New York Giants last week was so important. You take a deep breath. You get that ugly history from the last 2 years out of the way. But just from a real substance standpoint, we know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, that 63% of the time since 1990, when you start 2-0, you go to the playoffs. All right, and we'll get to the numbers, what it says when you start 3-0, if it becomes appropriate to talk.
Oh, it's going to be appropriate.
Well, you know what? You know what?
It's going to be appropriate.
You know what?
Oh, you're picking against them?
No.
Why are you saying?
I just do not like. I've been listening to this radio station for the last 24 hours. All right? I do not like the tone that I hear. Because I'm going to quiz you. Right. What is the one thing that I have said about the NFL in general for the last 4.5 years doing the show with you?
I don't pay attention to most of the things you say, Zach.
Let me bring you back up to speed.
Okay.
When you think you have the NFL figured out, it will what?
Humble you.
It will humble you.
Now I remember.
And when everyone is in unison, like a chorus, I'm hearing Chad, my guy, picked the Broncos 28-10. I'm hearing Mike said 30-10.
Yeah.
Okay. When is the last handful of times that we have talked like this about the Denver Broncos? I know it's a new season. I know it's a new team. I know it's a new quarterback. But when in the last few years when we have talked like this, it has humbled us.
It has backfired. Yeah.
And I just want to make sure we have one game to react to. And I want to make sure that we are not taking this 1 of 17, because that's all we have to draw from, and making it a referendum on who the Broncos are going to be and simultaneously on who the Jags are going to be.
Let me fill you in on something. You ready for this? Take a deep breath. We're not playing in the game. so it doesn't stinking matter. We're not playing in the game. Just as long as the players aren't thinking like we're thinking, right? So, you know, I don't have any control of what happens on Sunday. I'm not flying down there today. I have no part in it. So what I say and how I think is not going to impact how they play. But they have to have – you're exactly right. They have to have their minds right going down there. They can't think that they're just going to roll in there and get an easy victory over the Jacksonville Jags, who I did watch some film on, Zach, this morning. And
Look at you.
Yeah, hashtag Look grinder.
At you must have been out of bed earlier this morning than you were yesterday.
I was, actually.
Good
I was.
For you, bud.
I didn't fall back asleep, so I just got up. Got that workout in. Didn't want to. Got the workout in.
Good for you.
Got a sweat in and watched some film. And what I saw was disgusting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and we'll break it down later, but it was absolutely horrendous. Some of the worst football I've ever seen. Some of the worst football that I've ever seen.
Now I know
why Urban Meyer didn't want to talk to the opposing media. Because that was some of the worst football I've ever seen. I mean, it was like Pop Warner.
I'm getting a flashback,
It was like me coaching Pop Warner.
I'm getting a flashback from you sitting right there. I'm getting a flashback
from
you sitting right there. Do you know where I'm going
to tell you
right now? No. I'm just
telling you the facts.
You know where my mind goes?
Where?
You sitting there 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Or maybe was it 2 years ago? I forget it.
Uh-huh.
It's all blurry.
Wait. Which?
Kansas City.
You said this city.
I think it was Kansas City.
Oh, yes.
You said, this is the worst tackling football team I've ever seen.
Right.
Zach, I've been around the game my whole life.
Yeah.
I know one thing in life, and that's football.
Did I say that?
I know one thing in life.
Did I say that?
That's football on the football field when they're playing football. I know football, and this is the worst tackling football team I've ever seen in my life, and the Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl and be like the best defense that we've ever seen.
Did I say that like that? That's right, because I do know football, right? And they were, because you know who they played before that?
Who's that?
They played the Indianapolis Colts. Indianapolis Colts ran all over and beat the Chiefs, if I recall correctly.
No, I believe you're right here.
The Chiefs couldn't tackle anyone. They played the Broncos, and guess what? Broncos were a get-right game, and they just turned their season around. They started playing different. I think Chris Jones was hurt a lot early in that year.
Yes,
he came back, and he was a force to be reckoned with. So up until that point, it was true. They couldn't tackle. Their defense stunk. But they figured it out, and obviously they started playing much better.
You're right. It was a loss early in the season to Indianapolis, 19-13. This is the Chiefs, lost the next week to Houston. They lose back-to-back games, and it was like, oh, my gosh, are the Broncos going to beat the Chiefs for the first time in however many years? And that was a Bloody Thursday. That was 30-6.
That was a game you dropped a grand on for those two tickets.
Yeah. And the old Coliseum, it just stepped through the turf.
Right.
And down into the burrows of the stadium.
You're like, I got to get to this game. I got to see this game. This is going to be the Broncos' time.
I
got to
see Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
I got to see the Broncos beat these guys.
You saw a lot of the Chiefs.
The year before, it was a couple besties hanging, me, you, and P, up in the box there. and that was when Case Keenum missed. Demarius Thomas on the right sideline. And then the next year, I'm like, no, I am going to watch them beat the Chiefs at Mile High. Then we had Bloody Thursday, and Matt Moore looked like, you know,
me,
Aaron
you,
Rogers.
And who?
Me, you, and P.
Oh, that's Mr. Manning to you. Mr. Manning to you.
He said, hey, come here, Z. I was like, P. Just P and Z.
Yeah, look, I mean, but then, obviously, look, they can't overlook anyone. And I think that's been reiterated to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's been made abundantly clear, you know, the failures of past teams when they've overlooked teams. And once again, you're going on the road here. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. All those things, and you got to be ready to play football, or you'll lose. And that's just, you know, we've seen it.
Yeah,
we've seen it, and too much here over the last 4 years. I don't care what team you're playing, and we see it every year. The Jets going to the Rams last year and beating the Rams. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How did that happen?
Don't know.
I mean, just games like that just happen. So certainly the Broncos are in no position to take anybody lightly. But what I saw from the Jags, what I saw from that football team, was some of the worst football that I've ever seen in my life at the NFL level.
Wow.
It was. I mean, you talk about incompetent? Man.
All right. Worse
than I thought. And maybe that's why Urban Meyer couldn't talk to the media. If he has heart trouble... He ain't going to make it through the year. He ain't going to. Not if they keep playing like that. I'm just telling you.
Man,
that was awful football. You're talking about illegal formation on the first play of the year?
Oh, my gosh.
Kidding me? That's how it started, Zach. Illegal formation. Like, you know the play the night before. Like, this is a formation, this is a play.
Right.
These guys couldn't even get lined up.
That is hilarious.
The wide receiver's covering up the tight end. My goodness. Yeah, first play, illegal procedure.
Oh, no.
Too many men on the line of scrimmage. Jags, like, what the heck is going on? And it just continued.
Urban might have bit off a little bit more he can chew. You know,
Urban's in trouble.
It looks like, on paper, when you say, okay, if there's a once-in-a-generation quarterback coming out of the draft and – the Jags, if you remember, Jacksonville last year won their first game. They won their first game, and it was like a comeback win.
Against the Colts.
Another good memory.
A
comeback win, and then they lost 16 straight. And then they lose last week. They have lost 17 consecutive games. It is one of the longest losing streaks in NFL history.
Wow.
So, look.
Let's go ahead and make that thing 18.
Hey, it's right there for the taking.
Yeah. I mean, you're still feeling optimistic. We're gonna make our picks later, but like now, yep. you had me taking a step back because you're trying to slow my roll down here and my optimism.
I'm not trying to slow anything down.
What do you call all that rant you just went on?
It wasn't a rant. It wasn't a rant. I want us to. I'm hoping that the Broncos have a singular focus right now, and it's just all about Jacksonville. Because if it's all about Jacksonville, I don't think we have anything to worry about. But all too often, the last handful of years, when you think something is assumed, a Gardner Minshew at home, a New York Giants depleted here at home. I mean, that's what the last 24 hours on this radio station has sounded like. The 24 hours leading up to the New York Giants game, Monday Night Football 2017, where the Broncos were 3-1, the Giants were 0-4, everyone was hurt, and they came out here and just played competent football, and the Broncos couldn't chew gum and walk, and you got beat. And I want to caution, like, if you don't know your history, you don't know the past, you're doomed to repeat it. That's what the old adage says, and I want it to be cautious optimism, not unbridled optimism.
Well, how do you feel they're going to respond? I mean, like, how do you feel? Do you think that they come in and they come in assuming that they are going to, you know, have an easy victory? Because, look, the way that the Broncos played and what I saw on film, like, that Broncos defense is looking at the Jags like, man, this is a joke. Like, wow, these guys, they can't get out their own way. So, like, if there's ever a time to kind of overlook a team, it would be this week. Do you think that might happen with this group?
I think it could happen. I don't think it will happen.
Wow, thank you for that in-depth. It could happen. I know it could happen. What do you think? Yes or no?
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either.
And I think it's large part to do with one person.
Teddy
Bridgewater.
I'm with you.
I ain't kidding, because I have not trusted the leadership on this football team for years. All right, for years. The culture around here has stunk. Emmanuel Sanders said, we're living in a world of suck. All right? The Broncos are trying to get out of that.
Yeah.
But I have not trusted the voices in that locker room from a leadership and cultural standpoint. And Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think this guy's the world's greatest quarterback, but this dude has been nothing but impressive here, and I trust that veteran voice at that position specifically, that it could change things. So ultimately, my answer is no. I don't think they're going to get caught in that trap.
I don't either. I'll be really disappointed if they do. And my reason was exactly that, because of Teddy, not Vic, not Pat, not any of the coaches. It's because of Teddy Bridgewater. You heard Vaughn as we're looking up at the NFL Network right here, and we're seeing Bradley Chubb go through some drills, and we're seeing Pat Surtain go through some drills, so it's going to be interesting to see what Chubb's status is. But it's because of Teddy. You heard Vaughn last week during the game talk about the leadership of Teddy, telling Teddy that, what kind of leader. He hadn't had a leader like that since 18, et cetera, et cetera. And that goes a long way. So especially when you have a young offense,
right,
like the Broncos do. And I'm with you. I think because of Teddy, they don't have that letdown. And they haven't had that type of guy. since Peyton left. Really, that type of guy,
and it's
you
that,
can tell from Von's words what it means for that football team.
Sure, no question about it. It's that, what we're talking about, that factor with Bridgewater. But this is also the best rendition of the Broncos that we've seen in a few years. So it's
twofold.
It's right. Those two things coming together, which is why I don't think they'll get tripped up on Sunday. But you know, look, it's and someone on the RamosLaw.com text line saying, Listen to Zach trying to tell us how to fan. Come on, Zach, let us be optimistic. And that goes back to a conversation about, the Rockies, right, and Boo and Nolan and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I want everyone to be optimistic. I do. I just don't want you to get hurt. Right? So it's my care
We've been hurt a lot. We are scarred up over here. So we're going to be optimistic. We're going to be optimistic this week. We should be optimistic. And the Broncos just got to go out there and take care of business. And hopefully that's the case. I just, with the losing that has happened, you know, they got to be aware with the veterans defensively. When you got a guy like Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons and Von Miller, that, you know, we can't take anyone lightly. And hopefully that's the approach. And I think we'll know early on what their mindset's like. I mean, I don't think that they're just going to go in there and, you know, just be able to, you know, walk all over the Jags early in the football game and just dominate from the start to the end. I think, you know, they're going to have to make some plays, and the Jags are going to come out fighting. I expect the Jags to play better than what we saw last week. A lot of change there, and it showed. I mean, a lot of self-inflicted penalties. I mean, I just couldn't believe the amount of penalties that you know, they were getting called for, and the situations that it was putting them in, you know, first and 20, second and 15. You know, then they finally have a second and 5. Then you got, like, two illegal procedure penalties. I mean, it's just like it was, you know, little league ball at the worst. I mean, that's what it looked like. So I'm not expecting to see that again from them. I'm expecting that to be cleaned up more so than what we saw last week from the Jags. But Broncos, I don't think because of what they've been through defensively, the leadership there, and then offensively, you have Teddy.
Well, if you want to be brought back down to earth, Grayson on the RamosLaw.com text line says, here we go. The Broncos will lose Sunday because East Coast early game. They won last week. The Jags lost last week. The Broncos are favored, and I've been a fan since 84. Well, I'll tell you what. If you want to be that guarded, you can. I understand. But I'll say this. In the past, we've been optimistic at certain points for optimism's sake. I think this time around the sun, you can be optimistic with substance to draw from. And that's what the Broncos put on films 6 or 5 days ago on Sunday. That was one of the more complete games that we have seen in years. So if you want to take that optimism ball and run with it, I say go for it, because I think it's more fair this time around.
I mean, Grayson makes a good point. Look, you know, you can't really go off of last week usually when you look at games. I mean, every game takes a life of its own.
Definitely.
And is different. So, you know, traveling's still a big deal. It's still an early start. But I like how they're giving themselves a little bit of leeway there with leaving on Friday. I think that's a big boost for them. And the Jags will come out fighting. I mean, they're probably like what you said last week, Zach, about the Texans. I mean, those guys are pros, and they're getting a paycheck, and you don't like to be embarrassed. So they're going to come out fighting and clawing. And so there's a lot of, you know, stuff that Grayson's saying here that, you know, is spot on. When you're a road team and you're favored, and you're traveling on the East Coast and all those things, it's not a layup.
No.
It's not a layup.
Nope.
You got to go out there and take care of your business and play good football.
All right, we are off and rolling live here at Blake Street Tavern. Man, this place is a palace. It's truly one of the best sports bars in America. 18,000 square feet, 3 separate bars. You got the game room, 69, you heard that right. Nice. High-definition televisions. You want to come down here, whether it's college football, pro football on Sunday. The menu is off the chain. I'm about to dive into it right now. So get down to Blake Street Tavern, where Denver watches sports. All right, we are going to take a timeout. When we come back, Vic Fangio should be stepping up to the podium. What is the status of Bradley Chubb on Sunday? We'll take a dive into it coming up next. Here at the Big House on Blake, come stop by, say hello, grab some food and a drink if you're anywhere near Lodo. Let's go to Dove Valley. Vic Fangio from just moments ago at the podium.
Vic, what's Bradley's status for Sunday?
Questionable.
Graham?
Doubtful.
Shamar?
He'll play.
Shelby?
He'll play. Yeah, everything's come back good on him. All the tests were positive. You're supposed to say negative, but positive as we view them.
Okay. And then, Chuck, what did he do team-wise today?
He did yesterday about the same as he did on Wednesday. He did more today, so hopefully he'll be able to make it, but we'll see.
Going to start there at right guard.
Yeah.
Call it Schlottman from the practice
squad. Yeah, that's
possible. Yep. You said Chubb questionable.
Right.
And Glasgow was doubtful.
Doubtful.
Would Chubb need a pregame workout? And did he do one last Sunday?
No, he didn't do one last Sunday. We knew enough, you know.
Would he need one this Sunday?
Maybe. See how he wakes up tomorrow. We're going to do a little walkthrough out there tomorrow, too.
At the stadium?
No.
I mean, at the hotel?
No, at a high school.
Yeah. Thomas Griffith, he was limited.
Yeah, he, during practice yesterday, his back tightened up and had to leave practice. He's fine today.
What do you think the team's kind of mindset is heading into this game? Are you feeling good about where it is?
Yeah, I think our mind is in the right place.
I'm getting Eric Saubert, the tight end, right after the draft. I take it Wade Harmon kind of went to bat for him.
Yeah, Wade was in Atlanta when they drafted him there. Wade liked him when he was coming out, coached him in Atlanta, went to bat for him, and Wade was right. You know, obviously we liked him, and it's a good job by Wade, both in his evaluation process and to go to bat for him.
And what is Saubert is kind of like Bennett?
He can play both tight end positions. He can be the Y. He can be the off tight end, the F position, as some people call it. And he's done a nice job contributing in special teams.
And in Glasgow, is he traveling today?
Yes. If he wasn't, I would have to say he's out. Technicalities. All right.
Thanks, Vic.
All right, see you.
All right, that was Vic Fangio from moments ago.
I like that from Vic. I think it was Troy. Is Glasgow traveling? He's like, yeah. If not, he would have been out. Not,
right,
you know, doubtful.
Right.
Vic with a little humor there. Vic also talking about he thinks they're ready. You know, he's like, their mindset's in the right place. I mean, I guess that's what you would expect a head coach to say. I mean, be alarming if he said, nah, I don't think we're in a bad spot right now.
To
Jacksonville, right? So, Chubb being questionable. You saw the video yesterday, and I think it was from D-Mac?
Yes.
He was stretching, then he went and he started talking to the trainers. Look, I don't know. I mean, what did you make of it?
I didn't think it meant everything, but I didn't think it meant nothing. I mean, they're doing high knees, and
Why was he going over there? Like, sometimes guys go over there like, hey, okay, I need to get retaped, or I need this, I need, you have some Tylenol or something, maybe, whatever the case may be. So I don't know what the conversation was, but
it looked like he had his hands on his hips. He's talking with the trainers, and at one point he did with the injured ankle, the new injured ankle, he was like, he twisted.
Yes.
He rotated it around, and if most folks have had a sprained ankle, I suppose, or I guess I'm just assuming, but you know that when you're doing that, when you're looking down at it and twisting, like, you're trying to get that thing warm and trying to, like, you know, evaluate your threshold of pain, and you feel that, you know, little knot as you twist from the farthest point type deal. And look,
not ideal.
Here's my thing. You're not 100%.
Right.
Like that's my takeaway. Like, does it mean that he's not going to play on Sunday? No. Does it mean that, you know, XYZ, like, no, but what I do know is that Bradley Chubb is not right, and he, you know, took himself out of stretching and or the warm-up period. Did he go back in? Yeah. Is that positive? Sure.
I'm getting a little bit less and less optimistic about it. We got a coffee on it, and 2 days ago we made the bet, and I said he would play. You said he wouldn't, and I'm getting less and less optimistic. It's just one of those things where Vic was at. He's like, just like last week, same as last week.
Yeah.
Oh, well, then what has changed? I mean, he didn't play last week, so why would he play this week? And if he's getting, if he's taking himself out of stretch to, you know, whatever with his ankle, something wasn't quite right and just needed whatever, then it's like, like, why is he even practicing then? Like, just rest him. Let's just get him, try to get him ready for next week. But the more you keep going on it and trying to get there and to play, you know, the less you are, you know, doing rehab to getting it healthy.
Right.
You're
kind
of just setting yourself back, and then you're starting all over the next week.
Right.
Right. If he had taken just all last week off and just rehabbed and didn't practice at all and just got treatment and rehabbed, he probably would be playing this week. But you're going out there and you're trying to fight through and you're trying to get to play in that first game and you're not getting healthy. So I don't know, man.
It's confusing.
It hasn't been a good start to the season for Bradley Chubb.
No.
Do you remember how the party started?
Do
in the clanker.
Yes.
In the clanker.
Yeah.
Right?
Had to do that little baby bib.
Yes.
Had to hit that chow line one time.
Do you think he did?
I
think he passed.
You got three hots in a cot.
I think he passed on the meatballs.
Did someone send him a kite? you hear that? Like in jelly, like, pass down the notes and call him a kite?
Yeah.
Someone, hey, I'm a big fan. I'm three cells
down.
Can
you sign this for me?
Can you sign this kite?
Yeah. Sound like you might have spent some time in there. You got all the lingo down. I mean, who hasn't? Who hasn't spent
a little
time?
Who ain't college doing a night in jail?
Come on. But that's how it started for him.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we were concerned with the surgery that he had on the surgically repaired ankle. That's fine, but it's the other ankle.
Yep.
And so, man, just not a ideal start for Bradley Chubb. We'll see. We'll see if he can play or not. I'm not holding my breath right now, especially after seeing that video of him removing himself from stretch. And
well, Vic just a moment ago said that he practiced the same amount on Wednesday and Thursday. Today he did a little bit more. So, you know, but what do you do on Fridays?
That was what I was going to say. What are you doing?
It's walkthrough, right?
No, it's not walkthrough. It's not walkthrough. I don't know what they do nowadays. You know, it's different than what we did. It might be, but it's not walkthrough. It's you're going out there, you're running around, you're trying to get stuff accomplished.
But it's not like a fully padded practice or whatever.
No, just
whatever
helmets,
Wednesday and Thursday
helmets.
Was. Sometimes, it ain't that.
Right, just helmets probably. And then later in the season, sometimes you get a hat day if you win, depending on the coach. But you got helmets on, and they might have the soft shells on. But that's it. So it's a light day. But you're still going out there. Like, as a wide receiver, I mean, you got to go out there and run. I mean, it's not a walkthrough. So you're going full speed. When you look at guys like Bradley Chubb, like, when you don't have pads on and you just have helmets, like, how hard is he going up against the offensive lineman and the offensive lineman going against him? And he's going up against the practice squad guys.
Right.
And so I don't know what you can gather from him, you know, doing a little bit more today. That doesn't tell me a whole lot.
Would you have made the same bet with me that you made 2 days ago today?
No. I'm less optimistic than I was a couple days ago. I just think that he'll be close, and then, you know, he won't play now. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully he wakes up tomorrow and has a feels good. I guess a lot's going to be dependent on, you know, how he responds to the day before. How does he respond today, tomorrow? And, you know, usually with guys like that where they take the cautious approach. But then we see, you know, Courtland Sutton limping all over the place in practice. So I don't know, Zach. I don't know. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I don't feel good about it. I mean, I feel good about my bet.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about Bradley Chubb. And that's one of my overarching questions for the 2021 Broncos season is, will we ever get to see Von Miller and Bradley Chubb together at the peak of their powers? And being together, but also at the peak of your powers are two different things. These guys have not been able to stay on the same page from a health standpoint. It's this early in the season. We're dealing with it already. We've dealt with it already for years. And I just fear that it's going to be year three of what we've watched for the last two seasons. And that's whether Chubb comes back or not. Like, in, like, say he comes back against the Jets or the Ravens. Like, are we going to see the Bradley Chubb that we hope to see opposite of Von Miller just wrecking opposing offenses?
Or is he just going to be just another guy?
Which he kind of was. I was going to say kind of was a year ago. He was better than that, but he certainly wasn't near the expectation that we thought he could be in year three. So that's where we're at.
What do you think they were serving in the clank?
Grilled cheese. Grilled cheese, meatloaf.
I'll pass on the meatloaf.
Hot dog.
Oh, I'll pass.
One of those like gray ones you see at a 7-Eleven.
Stop.
That gray.
No, 7-Eleven looks like they got some good stuff back there.
I'll tell you what, like
they got some good stuff back there. I think I've never had it, but you know that it goes quick.
Why don't you give it a spin?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Honey, I brought us home dinner from the gas station.
Hey, don't sleep on the 7-Eleven food back there. I'm just telling you.
All right. Stokes said yesterday that Tim Patrick, not Cortland Sutton, is likely the new number one with Jerry Jeudy sidelined. That may not be as shocking as it sounds, and we'll tell you why coming up next. There we go. Stokes said yesterday that Tim Patrick, not Cortland Sutton, is likely the new number one with Jerry Jeudy sidelined. And that may not be as shocking as it sounds. First of all, I want to decipher the conversation we were having yesterday. You said and I agree with you, that your eyes are telling you that Tim Patrick should be the number one.
Yeah.
But that's different than will he be the number one?
Well, tell me what the number one means then. Like, what does that mean?
Who's going to get the most targets?
I think Tim Patrick. So, yeah, I do. Like, I think he gets the most targets out there. He got more targets against the Giants.
He did.
He got more catches.
He did.
He had a touchdown.
He did.
So, I think he was splitting reps then. Now he's going to be in there every play. I'm not expecting him to come off the field really offensively. I'm not expecting that. So, I don't know about Cortland. I think they need to have a better plan for him. I think that he's not ready to play 50, 60 plays a game. And so I think Tim Patrick has more targets, more catches, more yards.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's not that crazy of a notion. Because we think back to last year. Was Tim Patrick the Broncos' number one receiver last year? We know that Cortland Sutton was out with an ACL, and Locke's chemistry issues with Jerry Jeudy were pretty obvious. Tim Patrick was arguably the most productive receiver on the roster last year, and I don't even know if it is arguable.
He was the most consistent.
He was by far.
Yep.
By far. Now, Jerry Jeudy had 52 receptions to Tim Patrick's 51. Okay, so just one reception higher than Timmy Patz. But Jeudy had 113 targets. Tim Patrick, 79, and had one less. I mean, holy moly. I'm not good at math on the fly. You know that.
Nope, you're not good.
But when you take 113 and you minus 79, you got a difference of 34. So 34 more opportunities for Jeudy than Tim Patrick a year ago, and Jeudy came up with just one more reception than Patrick. When it came to yards, Jeudy had about 100 more yards, but again, on 34 more opportunities. Not a whole heck of a lot in terms of what you would, you know, what the expectation would be with that many more targets. And then when it came to touchdowns, Brandon Stokley, Jeudy had 3. Tim Patrick had twice as many touchdowns in those 34 opportunities less. 6 touchdowns a year ago for Timmy Patz.
Look, I mean, he was great last year. And I think this year, you know, coaches really trust him to do a little bit of everything and to be that guy on the football field that's just going to make plays for him. And Teddy trusts him. You can tell that Teddy trusts. I don't know how much Teddy actually trusts Cortland Sutton right now. Just don't know, because if we see it out there during training camp, and not that he doesn't trust that Cortland Sutton's a good football player or can't be a good football player, that he just doesn't trust that he's healthy right now. You throw that deep ball to him, right? You know, you referenced it the other day. He just doesn't have that fifth gear. He doesn't have that acceleration, that burst right now. And then once that's not a referendum that he's not going to have it in 2 months, but right now he just doesn't have that next gear, and he's never been that explosive guy like Cliss was talking about yesterday. But now you lose a little bit more of that. You know, as a quarterback, you look out there and you're like, ooh, man, I don't know. I don't know if I want to throw that ball to this guy. He's having trouble getting separation. Let me go to my guy over there, Timmy Patz, who just seems to continue to make play after play for me.
Right. You know, when we were talking about Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, just the whole tone of that conversation and some of the details that, you know, opinions shared about it, we would say, yeah, Teddy's got bad history. But it's not here with these coaches. Cortland Sutton's got good history, but it hadn't been with Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things you hear about. You ever have someone talk someone up to you like, oh, this guy's hilarious, you're going to love me. And then you get around and you're like, he's all right.
Right.
But, you know.
You
overhyped him.
Yeah.
You know, Cortland.
Don't be the overhyped guy.
Don't be the overhyped guy. Just let the substance be
yes.
the hype.
Yes.
So.
It's a good life lesson there for people out there.
Sometimes I overhype.
You do.
Sometimes I get caught up.
Yeah, you
just
do.
Just getting excited.
I'm not an overhyper.
No, you're not. You're a suppressor.
Yes.
You're a wet blanket suppressor.
Whoa, I don't know about all that. What does that mean?
If there's an opportunity to take you out at the legs, you take it. That's what it means.
Okay.
But going back to the Sutton thing, Sutton was awesome. That's unequivocal. We know, over 1,200 yards with three different quarterbacks. He was quarterback proof, but Teddy wasn't one of them. And you know, you hear about it, you know it to be true, but the substance between those two just isn't there yet.
No, it's not. It's going to be interesting to see what Cortland looks like this week. You know, when you look at Jags and their defense, you know, they got some. You know, you're talking about Henderson, their first round pick, the cornerback. What do I want to say, CJ? Out of Florida, first round pick. Who's CJ Henderson then? Am I just getting?
Is that the running back? You think
maybe? And then on the opposite side, you got Shaquille Griffin.
Right.
From Seattle, who they paid a ton of money for. So they got some good corners over there in Jacksonville. Some
C.J. Henderson.
So exactly what I said.
Yeah, C.J. Henderson.
See, look at you making me second guess myself
again. Out of Florida,
he
was the ninth pick.
Yes.
Back in 2020.
Yes. So, you know, you got him. You got Shaquille Griffin. I mean, they got a good duo at the cornerback position. So they're not Broncos are going to, you know, look, they're going to have to go out there and make plays. I want to see what Sutton looks like this week. Hopefully he gets it going. And then we can kind of just say, oh, man, we were wrong about that one. But I have my doubts. I know that you still have your doubts.
For sure.
And hopefully we can start seeing it. But usually it doesn't just, you know, happen overnight for a guy like Cortland Sutton. You know, he's still got the knee brace on, and you saw him warming up. And, you know, sometimes with the injuries, you know, I heard Tyler talking about this the other day. Sometimes with those injuries, it takes you a while to get warm and
sure.
to get loose, and you just start off and you're a little bit sluggish. And but for a wide receiver, man, when you're starting off and you're running like that, I mean, he looked like he was 35 years old.
Yeah. Yep. So we'll see if he's maybe his role is just a little bit different. Maybe it's, you know, less go up and get it jump balls, and it's more of what we saw a week ago, you know, possession receiver.
Yeah.
You know, for right now, not every game moving forward. You'll take it one week at a time.
That's
see
right.
See what happens. But maybe he can be productive on Sunday just in a different way.
But I don't think he should be a 50-plus play guy. You're talking about, you know, 25 plays at the max for me right now with Cortland Sutton.
Yep.
I just don't think that you're going to get a lot you're going to get enough out of him, production, for him playing that many plays. And like I told you earlier in the week, it's a fine line when you're trying to look at Cortland Sutton as one of those coaches and tell him that, hey, we're going to rotate you a little bit this game. That's hard to do.
Sure.
It's hard to do, but I think it needs to be done.
Well, the Broncos.
But like you said, it's not a referendum what's going to happen
no.
in a month.
No.
This week until he gets healthy.
Yep. Yep. And the Broncos are in a unique position to execute a plan like that because you do have Tim Patrick. You do have KJ Hamler. You do have Noah Fant. You do have Albert Okwuegbunam. So we'll see how they handle it in about 72 hours from now. What are they saying about the Broncos in Jacksonville? And what is going on in the week of Urban Meyer? We go behind enemy lines coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.